Hey, I'm Matt Whitman, and welcome to the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. This is the audio version of what is natively a video format program. You can get that at YouTube under the 10-Minute Bible Hour or at thetmbh.com. Here we go.
Here's what's going to happen. Right now, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to guess what you think was my favorite radio pop song when I was a kid growing up. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, wrong. Belinda Carlisle's Heaven is a Place on Earth. It made me feel things that I'd never felt before about myself and about middle-aged pop star women. What worked on me as a naive fourth grader, whatever I was when I first heard that song on my super secret alarm clock radio that was probably supposed to be tuned to some sort of Christian radio station, was that she kept saying you, and so it felt so, like, emotional and personal, like, I think that the former lead singer of the Go-Go's has like a crush on me. That same impulse, I believe, affects the way we read the Bible. There's always a segue to the Bible, and thus the name of the channel. I think that we like to believe, and that our favorite approach to reading the Bible is the "this is a letter written to me" version of biblical interpretation. And I just want to shoot super straight with you. The Bible, or almost all of it, is not written directly to you. It's not that God doesn't care about you. It's not that these things might not apply to you. It's just that we know who all of these books were written to. In fact, a whole bunch of the authors of the Bible come right out and say, like, I wrote this for you, my benefactor, Theophilus. Or, oh, I wrote this to you, the church in Ephesus, because we got something we need to address. Or, I wrote this to you people in Corinth because you're behaving badly and we need to get some stuff straightened out. Or, I wrote this to the people of Rome. Or, this is a history for the people of Israel to remember. Or, this is a history book to help people make sense of our time in exile here under King Xerxes. Or, here's a collection of important proverbs to help you, my son, to grow up to be wise and behave well. The Bible actually gives a really good accounting of who all of this stuff is for. The Bible, first and foremost, was written at a place, at a time, to a specific group of people, and we are outside onlookers. But it's still loaded with truth, and it's still meant for us. It's just not written to us. It's secondary. In the same way, you might listen to one of the great love songs of all time, written from somebody to somebody else, and be like, well, obviously I wasn't who they were writing to, because I can see right there that they said who they were writing to. You can still internalize it, and you can still learn things about love, and you can still even adopt that and even kind of give it away to somebody else that you might love. We know what it is to be a secondary audience and to intuitively glean from that what we're supposed to. Well, when we read the Bible, a key interpretive principle is that you are not the primary audience. You are a secondary audience after the fact. And what that means is there's certain stuff in here that reads like an imperative, that is a command. You do this, that clearly can't apply to you. Like, nobody would read through the Old Testament and be like, wow, I just need to build an ark. Okay, well, almost nobody would read through the Old Testament and be like, wow, I need to build an ark. Very few people would read through the New Testament and be like, I need to round up my kids and flee to Egypt because the king of Wyoming might murder them or something. No, we understand intuitively that a whole lot of stuff here is happening in the narrative flow in a moment of history, but all of these things also include principles that get highlighted more specifically as we go along about the nature of God, about the nature of us, and where we fit. And every now and then, and I mean every now and then, like I've heard the figure is like 335 times in the teachings of Christ, and 600 times and change in the first 5 books of the Old Testament from Moses. They're like actual rules that get laid down, which in a book this big is a microscopic percentage. Overwhelmingly, what you're going to find is that the Bible is not a list of things to do. It's a whole bunch of stuff to help you understand. And as you understand, it seems like that can't help but translate into a life that looks different, and decisions that look different, and priorities that look different. But overwhelmingly, the Bible is principle first that informs how we see the world and what values that we hold to, that then shapes us into somebody who does something different, not the other way around. Here's a 1,700-page list of rules that if you adhere to all of these things, you're getting it right. This is a book that, though it may be frustrating, requires thought and interpretation. And I think that's part of the benefit of not being the primary audience of this document. There are going to be some who are like, I hate this video, and you probably already downvoted it because you're mad. And you're like, no, every single word of the Bible can be taken as a phrase and applied to my life directly. And I would just respectfully say that you're wrong. No, not every phrase of the Bible applies so neatly, but every single word of Scripture is profitable as it teaches us about God and what He's doing and where we might fit for teaching and discipleship and even correction or pushing back on our life and for pushing us toward a life that is reflective of somebody who is following God. Key interpretive principle: you are not the you of Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle, and nor am I, but that's okay. It's still a great song, and it still, in a way, shaped my fourth grade notions of love and affection, and how much more so, even though you are usually not the you that's in view in the Bible, still you were an anticipated and intended audience by the God who's behind it, and the truth of God is revealed, even though we listen in from the outside to a big chunk of what the Bible actually is. I'm Matt, this is the 10-Minute Bible Hour. More on how to read this thing better as we go along. See you soon.
I'm Matt Whitman. This has been the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. The 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast is taken straight from the audio of my 10-Minute Bible Hour YouTube program. You can find that with a cursory Google search or by going to the 10minutebiblehour.com.